Well, Andrew Alton here from Bible Society. Pleasure to share this message with you as our world faces unprecedented levels of disruption and much uncertainty over the future. We have realized through coronavirus that we can't control the world as much as we thought we could, and we need each other more than we realized we did. And I want to bring a message that reflects on how are we going to, as the people of God, process the past and experience spiritual renewal so that we have courage for the future. Whatever this brave new world means, whatever the new normal may be, how are we as God's people going to find the strength we need for the challenges that lie ahead? Well, I believe that so much of that is about our engagement with God's word, the Bible. It can be a source of hope and strength and courage as we move forwards. And I want to bring a message out of a particular passage in the book of Nehemiah, which, as I've studied it, I've realized how pertinent it is to the context we find ourselves in today. So let me share the backstory, and then I want to show how we as God's people need to gather around God's word to experience spiritual renewal, just as Israel did in the story of Nehemiah in chapter 8. Now, the backstory here is that the Israelites had been through an incredibly disruptive and traumatic experience that we call exile. Around 586 BC, the Babylonians sacked Jerusalem and led the majority of its inhabitants away from their homeland as forced migrants to Babylon, where they spent 70 years in an extremely challenging set of circumstances. And you may know the psalm, "By the rivers of Babylon, we sat and we wept as we remembered Zion, Jerusalem." Well, after the Babylonians come the Persians, and they had a different foreign policy that allowed the exiles to go home. So many of the Israelites returned, but returned to huge challenges. They were coming back, if you like, to their old place of living for the very old generation, but what was the new normal going to be like? How were they going to rebuild life the other side of that kind of traumatic experience? In a funny way, rebuilding was even more challenging than the actual experience of exile for many. I don't know if that sounds familiar, but that's how many of us are feeling, I think, about the future. It's been challenging in the past, lockdown and coronavirus, but as we look forwards, there are even bigger challenges. How are we going to rebuild life, and what is the new normal going to look like? That's why I believe Nehemiah has a great amount to teach us in general. But in particular, I want to focus on an incident that happens in Nehemiah chapter 8. Now, by this time, the great leader Nehemiah has returned from Persia to Jerusalem and has helped mobilize God's people to rebuild the rubble and to restore the city. Let that be an encouragement to us. Whatever challenges we're facing, if God is on our side, the rubble can be raw material and the ruin can become a home again with God's help. So Nehemiah is a great encouragement. The walls are rebuilt. And that's when Ezra comes onto the scene. And it's a story with Ezra at the center that I want to focus on in the book of Nehemiah chapter 8. I'm going to read extracts of that first 10 verses just to give us a feeling for the story as a whole. We read this. "All the people came together as one in the square before the water gate, and they told Ezra, the teacher of the law, to bring out the book of the law which Moses had been given from God. So on the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which was made up of men and women and all who were able to understand, and he read it aloud from daybreak until noon, as he faced the square before the water gate in the presence of the men and the women and all who could understand. All the people listened attentively to the book of the law." So they have it read to them, and then we read this, cutting down to verse 8. "The Levites then, and 13 other names that are mentioned, instructed the people in the law. While the people were standing there, they read the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people understood what was being read." Now, this is how the people then respond. Nehemiah, the governor, Ezra, the priest, and the teacher of the law and the Levites who were instructing the people had to say to them, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. Nehemiah said, "Go and enjoy some choice food and some sweet wine, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to the Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Well, this passage, I think, has three principles that can help us find spiritual renewal by gathering around God's word, whatever challenges we're facing. The first principle is this: the Bible is a divine watering hole. God's word is a divine watering hole. A couple of years ago, we went to Kenya as a family and had a great experience on safari. And one morning in particular, we watched at a watering hole as animals, a whole array of different kinds of animals, made their way to this one source of H2O, a source of life. And it was incredible to see the diversity that gathered because of what was available. I love to think of the Bible like that. It's a divine watering hole, and a whole diverse range of people can come and drink when we are thirsty. That's so important to think of the Bible that way. Often we imagine it as a technical book for priests or a scholarly book for academics, but the Bible is not those things. The Bible is a divine watering hole. Notice in the story of Ezra who hears the words of the law being read. Now, the book of the law, or the book of Moses, which is also described as that which God gave to Moses, it beautifully gets the idea that this is a human book, human words, and yet inspired by God. We don't exactly know which bit of the book of the law Ezra read. It may well have been Deuteronomy. But either way, it was, if you like, it was their Bible. It was their holy scriptures. And as the scriptures were read, did you notice who came to hear it? In fact, did you notice where it was read? They didn't read the Bible in the temple as if it was just for the priests. No, no, they gathered in a public square so that everyone could come and hear. This is a divine watering hole open to everyone to experience, women and men, literate and illiterate, children and adults. They were all there hearing and receiving the Bible. The Bible should not be locked up in the temple. It shouldn't even be locked up in the church. We need to release this in our homes as families. We need to release this in our small groups. We need to release the power of this even in our communities. Whether on Zoom or in the room, we can gather as God's people around God's word and find that when we are thirsty, it is a divine watering hole from which we can drink. That's true for us as God's people. We need to center our lives on the Bible, but it's actually true even for those who wouldn't consider themselves Christians. My wife recently went for drinks with some friends and they were sitting in their garden, and after a while, it was like the lid lifted, she said, and a couple of people especially just admitted how traumatic the lockdown experience had been for them. And there was a lot of emotion. And in the end, my wife was able to pray for one of the people and then later text a verse of the Bible to them in order to offer this source of wisdom and truth and encouragement to those who would never think of themselves as part of the church. This is a divine watering hole. We need to center our lives on it as God's people, like Ezra did. Did you notice, actually, in the story, it's not that Ezra told the Israelites, you must come and hear the Bible read. No, no, the Israelites actually went to Ezra and said, could you read the Bible to us? They were so thirsty. They had a thirst and a hunger for deeper meaning. I mean, you know, just because they didn't have Netflix doesn't mean there wasn't anything else to do, but they chose to gather around God's word. We as God's people need to experience the divine watering hole ourselves and invite a thirsty world to it as well. Firstly, then, the Bible is a divine watering hole. Everyone can gather who's thirsty. Secondly, the Bible is a larger story that gives hope. I heard recently speaking to some leaders from across the Middle East, and one of them shared very movingly of their work with refugees in the crisis there. And he said that on one occasion, a shipment of clothing arrived and he laid them out in the warehouse. And as an afterthought, he put a few Bibles in Arabic and Farsi there as well. And he said when they opened the warehouse and word got round, there was a stampede, not for the clothes, but for the Bibles. I found that so challenging. We have so many clothes and we think we need more of them, but these poor refugees realized it's the Bible we need. When the bottom falls out of life, when we feel vulnerable and fragile, this unique book can provide hope because it connects our lives to a larger story that leaves us feeling far less fragile and vulnerable in God's hands. When Ezra read the Torah to the Israelites, this is what happened for them. We don't know the detail, but it was a profoundly moving experience. It's almost cinematic detail that we're given. Ezra stands on a platform that was specially built for the occasion. For 6 hours, he reads this Torah to them, approximately, and they are spellbound, captivated by the words of God. And you might think, well, why? You know, and for us, you know, there's always, as I say, there's always more to watch online or more binge watching to experience. Why bother with the Bible? Well, I'll tell you why, because the Bible is a larger story that gives hope. When we feel vulnerable and fragile, we need to experience this larger narrative and frame our lives as situated within God's purposes. We are not just vulnerable, we are part of God's family, with God's people. The great author who has given this story a beginning, Genesis, creation, and who has promised this story a beautiful end, Revelation and new creation, the great author is the one that secures our existence. We may feel vulnerable and fragile during the chaos in the middle, but the author, God Almighty, has a purpose and a plan. And as Ezra read the law to the people, they realized that it wasn't just dusty old history. It was their story, as Ezra read about Israel being delivered from Egypt through the Exodus, as God brought them to Mount Sinai and declared, "You're my special people. I'll take care of you." And as they led through the wilderness and he provided for them, this wasn't just antiquity and dusty old history. This was a promise for them. God will take care of us. We're his people too. He's rescued us. We're in a covenant with him. When we read the Bible, we realize God's got me. He's got us. He's not going to fail us. He hasn't failed in the past, and he won't fail us in the future. We need the Bible to lift us out of some of the immediate challenges we're facing, to give us a fresh perspective and to return us to our lives with new courage to face all the challenges. The Bible is a larger story that gives hope. Or to put it another way, actually during lockdown, I had the chance to finish off a book I've been writing, and I've simply entitled it The Bible, A Story That Makes Sense of Life. Because that's what this is. It's one large story. And when we make sense of the Bible makes sense of us. And we find that we connect with the great author and he gives our lives hope and meaning. Now, I say all of that, but you might be thinking, well, that's all very good for you to say, but sometimes I read the Bible and it doesn't feel like it makes sense. Sometimes it can feel confusing, even a bit disturbing. Well, if you feel like that, you're in good company, because as Ezra read the Torah to the people, it seems like there were moments where they didn't get it. And so did you notice what Ezra did? He sent out the Levites, and 13 other people are mentioned, who clearly were like Bible teachers, and he sent them out amongst the crowd. And I mean, picture the scene. Imagine these people, these experts in the Torah, moving between families and small groups and sort of saying to them, you know, how are you getting on? Is it making sense? Have you got any questions? What's confusing? It reminds us that the Bible can be confusing, it can be a challenge, and it's okay to ask for help. They did it in Ezra's day. We still need to do that today. And the great news for us is there are some really good resources available to help make sense of the Bible. I mean, if you want to try something, I think of Bible Project from America. They do some great videos that introduce the books of the Bible so they make sense. Closer to home, Bible Society that I work with, they have a shop with great books and resources available. There's the Bible course, which I put together when I was a pastor, helping ordinary people, many of whom had just become Christians, make sense of the Bible as one big story and find their place in it. And this 8-session resource, Bible Society has now made a brand new version, and so many churches all across the UK and the world are using it now, because it helps us understand the Bible. Sometimes we just need a bit of help, and that's okay to admit that it's a bit confusing and to use the resources that are available to find our way through it. The overriding point is this: the Bible is a larger story that gives hope. More than ever right now, we need it. We need to get into it more deeply than we have before. So can I encourage you, what's your next step with the Bible? What resource could you use to get into God's word in a deeper level? The Bible's a divine watering hole. Anyone who's thirsty can gather. The Bible is a larger story that takes away some of the fragility of life when we understand it. And then thirdly, the Bible helps us process our experiences, the good, the bad, and the ugly. I remember a friend of mine at university that I played rugby with. I invited him to a Christian event once and he came, and there was a very bold talk from the Bible. And I must admit, I felt quite awkward wondering what my non-Christian friend was making of it. And at the end, I eventually sort of plucked up courage and I said, you know, without even looking at him, I said, so what did you think of that? And there was no reply. And eventually I looked across and I realized he had his head in his hands and he was crying. You know, the Bible had got inside him and it had affected him to move the rugby player to tears. And it was a reminder to me that the Bible's powerful. When it's read and when it's understood, it can transform our lives. We need to read it, as Ezra did. We need some help understanding it, as the Levites did. But then, after that had happened, when Ezra looked up, he realized the people were in tears. As he'd unpacked the Bible to them, it had begun to help them process the difficult experiences they'd been through, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and some emotion began to surface. I think the Bible can do this. It can help us process our emotions. These people, why were they crying? Maybe some of it was tears of conviction and repentance and remorse. But maybe some of it was also just the release of pent-up emotion. They'd been through a lot. I mean, they'd experienced trauma and loss and pain. And, you know, sometimes we go into coping mode and we just try and carry on. But on the inside, it's doing more. It's taking more of a toll than we realize. We're bottling up more than we thought. And sometimes when an opportunity is given in a safe space and the lid lifts off, we realize there was some emotion that needed to come out. On that day, as Ezra read the Torah, that's what happened. And I've experienced this myself. So often it's the Bible, this safe space that helps me process the emotions that I need to release to God. I think of recently a group of us who were reading the Bible together once a week on Zoom. We were reading Colossians and we came across this verse that let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. And as we read it one after another, we just began to effectively say how much we longed for that peace, but how much we were struggling to find it. One person was bereaved recently, another had lost their job, and many of us were struggling to juggle the pressures of homeschooling and work and everything else and the stress. And it's sometimes when, you know, there are a few tears, because it's sometimes when a truth from the Bible really hits home that the lid lifts and we lift out and express our hearts to the Lord in a more honest way. And I don't know about you, but you just feel so much closer to other people when you gather around the Bible and it releases what's going on at a deeper level. Vulnerability is the key to authentic community. Vulnerability is the key to building authentic community. This people of Israel, with all the disruption and pain that they've been through, they began to process it. They cried. Actually, as the story goes on and Nehemiah steps in, he then says to them, you need to cheer up now. have a nice meal. Have a glass of wine. Did you hear that? That's an unusual instruction from a leader. But after crying together, they then did feast together. After lamenting together, they then laughed together. And this mix of emotions is very real, isn't it? It's like real life. And we need more of that. I think moving forwards, we're going to need a lot more of that. We've got a lot to get off our chest and process. And we also need to laugh together and relax. And the Bible became for the Israelites the place, the safe space where they could do all of that and build real community. As we move forwards, I want to encourage us then that the Bible is a divine watering hole for the thirsty. It is a larger story that gives hope when we feel fragile. And it is, the Bible makes sense of life's experiences, the good, the bad, and the ugly. It helps us process what we've been through in the past and face our fears and challenges for the future with courage together. As I finish, I wanted to close with a few words from Lord of the Rings, that Tolkien's epic which captures a moment of conversation between Frodo and Gandalf. And Frodo says to Gandalf, I wish the ring had never come to me. I wish none of this had happened. And wise old Gandalf replies, so do all who live to see such times, but that is not for them to decide. All you have to decide is what to do with the time that's being given to you. We wouldn't choose these times we're going through probably, but we can't change them. What we can do is make the most of them. We can harness all that God is wanting to do through his people at this time. And I believe that a key part of that, like Israel and Ezra after the exile, as they began to work their way through to a new normal and rebuild their lives, we also need to center our lives on God's word. We need to rebuild from the ground up and experience the hope and the wisdom and the inspiration that God's word brings. That way we can experience spiritual renewal as the people of God, and we can offer hope to a thirsty, needy world in Jesus' name.